is the companion quality of the virtue of goodness. In effect, without the virtue of goodness, the virtue of wisdom is incomplete. In this sense, humans may be described as crafty or cunning, but wisdom consists of and abides in the attribute of the perfect utilization and direction of that knowledge to the highest and most moral ends. Thus, the selection of proper ends is supreme and must of necessity exist prior to the selection of proper means for the accomplishment of such ends. However, such is not possible without the attribute of goodness. Ultimate wisdom is the capacity to comprehend and the determination to effectuate the best and highest goal concomitant with the secured means of attaining it. Hence, wisdom is in essence the efficacious component of moral goodness. In this light, wisdom in its fullness is exclusively inherent in God, who alone is eminently, entirely, and invariably wise. Wisdom is its essence, its power, truth, and goodness is its essence, as integral elements in his character. Accordingly, his omniscience is the root agency governing his omnipotence, in that his infinite power is ruled and dictated by his infinite wisdom, as this is corroborated in the scriptures documenting the description of his divine character. This is the sobering lesson that today's churches must come to grips with, as the spiritual cogitation of God's people are lying along these premises. Such will at once ascertain why human wisdom has no function in the implementation of his perfect will. It becomes apparent to properly informed minds that human wisdom does not begin to compare with God's, as documented by 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, wherein the Apostle Paul states, and here we're quoting from the Greek text, "Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not through wisdom know him, God was well pleased through the preaching, or through the foolishness of preaching, to save those believing." Now, the Grace Gospel Church ministry enthusiastically believes and teaches that true wisdom resides exclusively in the essence of who God is and what he has purposed. We believe that the worth and effectiveness of all knowledge is proportionally dependent upon its replication of the perfect manifestation of God's will. Take that home and add that to the rest. And as I say, sometimes, probably by the end of the year, the beginning, we will have run all the excerpts. And when we do, we will give it to you in one document, some maybe 17, 18, or 19 pages, something. Take these home, and we have thought that we would give them to you in excerpts. And maybe you'll read it that way. All right, God bless you. Amen. It is now happy time. Lord loves what? Ask the ushers to bring the offertory plans forth. Officers and deacons to come at this time. Raise your hand if you need an envelope for giving. All right. Everyone stand and face the side aisles as the ushers shall direct you out.
loving
those of the sanctuary, let us stand. It's time. Take your hymn books. 475, redeemed. Let's begin our ministering. Father, we thank you for the words of God that are so enlightening to give us direction and understanding, to give us the secured base of trusting you and believing you and knowing that But you have the creed must come, will come to its manifestation. We praise and we magnify you for the word of God as it continually is conveyed into our hearts. And we pray this morning as we look into your word that you will certainly continue to give us the elucidation. To this end, we ask, Lord, to bless us in this hour as we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Let's say grace and peace to the congregation. I ask that you take your Bibles as we continue in our exposition. And for our visitors, if you do not have, hopefully there are some more copies of our document, The Glorious Body of Christ. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. As we continue to move through exposition of that which we have laid out, and we are continually laboring to bring forth understanding, we have moved to part 4, which is page 22. We have begun there last week, and as I said, hopefully we can go through the end of this document by the end of the year. If not, we have no problems. We're not going to rush through anything. Mm-hmm. What we are dealing with here is so important. Oh my God, I can't think of anything that is more important than where you shall eternally dwell.
That's right.
Your abode, your dwelling place. Mm-hmm. When many people sit at church, they have no idea what they're talking about. Most mm-hmm. people think of an organization.
Right.
Amen. We have an organization here called the Grace Gospel Church.
Right.
And of course, this is God's earthly manifestation mm-hmm. Of those in a local assembly that comprise this great body. Mm-hmm. But the body itself was actualized and realized in God's eternal decree.
It was.
Amen. It is a spiritual body, mm-hmm. not a physical body. Mm-hmm. The local assembly is a temporary entity. At some point, there will no longer be a Grace Gospel Church. Somebody said, oh no, don't say that, Pastor. It is that to which is manifested in time. Mm-hmm. Amen. But the church, the real body, is that which is actualized mm-hmm. in God's decree in eternity. Not an organization, mm-hmm. but an organism. Amen. Of those that God, through his sovereign purpose and will, mm-hmm. for what reason I can't stand here and tell you this morning, amen, except it pleased him to do it.
Yes, it did.
And because of that, we stand this morning free, mm-hmm. amen, cleared, justified,
yes.
with a bright, amen, and blissful, a happy future before us. I say this in the face of this evil age that we live in. All you have to do is to turn on your television or your radio, or do like me, I go to the internet news mm-hmm. and begin to focus and look at the things that are going on around us. Mm-hmm. And basically, most of it is not encouraging.
No.
Amen.
Oh.
When you read about someone going into a daycare and killing a little child, there's nothing encouraging about that.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Of wars and all of the workings internationally and nationally of all the things that basically not there because they're good, they're there because they're bad, because it doesn't make the news unless it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
If it's, amen. All the good things that God is doing and bringing about, that's called peace. And peace doesn't make the news. Turmoil makes the news. Y'all don't hear me this morning. Huh? gruesome things that happen, that occur and make the news. And really, these things are not news. They are just things that are a part and workings of the depraved environment.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. All of the chaos and things that are going on, they're all part of the nature of depravity,
right.
Depraved nature.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. These things are happening. But in the midst of that, in the midst of the struggles that you have, amen, we have families to raise, we have jobs, and there's problems in the home, there's problem on the job, there's some supervisor, some co-worker that's giving you the blues, somebody's behind the scenes trying to work something against you, and you say, my God, what is going on? You know what's going on? You live in a depraved environment. That is the rule. Amen. The exception is when God, amen, overrules the workings of depravity, and you have peace. If you have a peaceful day, it's because, amen, God has intervened.
All right.
Amen. Otherwise, it would be all chaos. But that's great news.
Great.
And the great news is, amen, these things are consigned to a increment of time. At some point, the increment of time will have come to a close.
Yes.
And when that happens, amen, God has something eternally and graciously and gloriously prepared for some of us.
All right.
Amen. And if you, amen, are the elect and you call out this morning and placed into the body of Christ, amen, what your focus should be upon, amen, and your prioritized focus, I should say, I'm not saying we shouldn't focus on the things around us, but above the things that are around us, we should focus above those things into the eternal sphere of what God has everlastingly prepared for us. If you don't, your life is going to be like a roller coaster.
That's right.
Amen. Because some days things look encouraging, and other times things look very discouraging.
Amen.
Amen. Things can be downright frightening and disheartening and discouraging. And you can find yourself living in the dumps because you're dependent upon the things that are around you, amen, to bring you joy and comfort and peace and blissfulness, amen. And if they did, then it would be a testimony against what God has said in His Word. Amen. So it is not the things that are around us on a horizontal plane that our prioritized focus should be upon, but look up. Amen. And even in the other gospel, He tells them to look up for your redemption, your deliverance draws nigh.
Yes.
And it's not, amen, in a good retirement plan or program.
No.
Oh my God. Oh, hallelujah. It is in the what God has eternally prepared for those of whom He loved and knew. No, He formed you before creation. Our focus is on the body of Christ, that entity of which He has placed those who He called in the age, in the dispensation of grace, and has placed us into His body. Amen. It is a spiritual entity that is prepared in eternity, and the glorious part about it is not the body so much of those whom God has called, but through association, the head. The worst of the body is invested in the head.
In the head.
Oh, hallelujah.
Yeah.
So, well, no, that's not, you know, it said, well, you know, he or she, they got great feet. They could say about a woman, she's got great legs. Amen. And, of course, those who are courting and looking for a husband, looking for a wife, amen, you better check out the head. Amen. Huh? Hallelujah. Because that, first of all, that Coca-Cola shape is going to fill out. And at some point, the curd will be gone. Amen. And it's what's upstairs that counts. Amen. Because if the head is not correct, you're cursed the day you ever saw that Coca-Cola ball. Amen. All right. Now, our theme scripture is in Galatians chapter 3. I want you to turn there. As Deacon Gavin shall be our designated reader this morning. Mm-hmm. But Deacon, I want you to read the verses we always read, 26 through 29. Mm-hmm. And then this morning we're going to go back and touch again in the first chapter of Colossians, verses 15 through 20. And we are going to John again. I want to go back and reiterate and actually... We got a document that we are writing on the oneness and triuneness of God. Amen. God is one. Mm-hmm. In 2005, we shall come out with it. Amen. Our position on this thing called the Trinity, and that is which those who even call themselves Unitarian, those who fall into different camps concerning the Godhead. Mm-hmm. There's only one head. Amen. There's only one Godhead. We shall touch back on that maybe for two or three Sundays, and then our official document will come out the first of the year. Mm-hmm. Concerning that. All right, let's go to Galatians chapter 3. Beginning at verse 26, everybody got it? Say amen. Amen. All right, Brother Deacon, just read through it, and hopefully I can do it without commenting on that part this morning. And then in conjunction with that, we will go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Everybody got Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, amen?
Amen.
All right, read.
Galatians 3:26.
Mm-hmm.
For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus.
By the faithfulness of Christ Jesus. All right, read.
For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ,
mm-hmm,
have put on Christ.
And of course, we're not speaking of water baptism. Amen. There's only one baptism in the grace gospel, and that is performed by the Spirit. So it can be physical. The Spirit doesn't perform physical baptisms. Amen. So he's not talking about water baptism here. He's talking about the Spirit that has placed us into Christ, which is synonymous with the statement, put on Christ. All right, read.
Verse 28,
mm-hmm,
there is neither Jew nor Greek,
mm-hmm,
there is neither bond nor free,
mm-hmm,
there is neither male or female,
uh-huh,
for ye are all one in Christ Jesus.
So in Christ, in Christu Iizu in Greek, that basically is saying that there are no distinctions in the bodies. And of course that even carries forth in our natural bodies. Amen. The body is identified by the head. Amen. Your fingers don't have names, and they're not distinguishable. They operate at the pleasure of the head, at the brain, the intelligence center. Amen. And so, in the body of Christ, there is only one intelligence center. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And we as body members, we have no distinction. So there's no Jew, there's no Gentile, there's no Greek, there's no black, there's no white in the body of Christ. And this is why we don't get, you know, that the thing of ethnicity is pretty, that's okay in its place. But there has no place in the body of Christ. Amen. There is no gender. There's no male and female. You notice I said male or female. And actually, if you look into the Greek manuscripts and the writings there, it doesn't say male nor female. It says male and female. In the body of Christ, amen, the church is the female. And the head is the male. Amen. But as far as the distribution among the members, there's no male and female. Because all members carry the same gender, female. So there's no male and female. All right, read.
Verse 29.
Mm-hmm.
And if ye be Christ.
Those that are in Christ.
Then are ye Abraham's seed.
Mm-hmm.
And heirs according to promise.
To the promise of justification by faith. It's not talking about the Abrahamic promise. No, we are not no. saved by and through the Abrahamic promise. No. I know that much of the church world teaches that. Mm-hmm. Amen. There's promises that he made for Abraham that is not what God has your salvation based upon.
No.
But the promise is the promise of justification by the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, who died for your sins and rose for your justification, mm-hmm. and that is actualized in eternity and manifested on Calvary some 2,000 years ago. That's how that works. All right, let's move now as we focus this morning on the head.
Mm-hmm.
As we look at the church, amen, we say that the value of the church is based upon the head, the value of the head. What makes the church so valuable is its the body so valuable is its head.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. The head of the body.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. Let's see. Verdicum. Oh, well, see, we got time problem constraint this morning. So why don't you just read the 15th through the 20th verse. I reserve the right to come back and bring this more into its contextualized position at some point going forward. Amen. But everyone that has Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, say amen.
Amen.
All right, now we're at the preeminence of Christ. This our focus this morning is on the head in order to give the value, amen, and suitability to the body.
Mm-hmm.
What we have been teaching on and what has been the conveyance is the body and its relationship to the head.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're going to focus on the head, mm-hmm. such that as it certifies that relationship of the body.
All right.
Deacon, read.
Colossians chapter 1, verse 15.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature?
Mm-hmm.
For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him.
All things are created by him and for him. Read.
And he is before all things.
Oh, my God.
And by him all things consist.
And we're going to deal because, see, the King James doesn't go far enough there.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Mm-hmm. But we shall deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 18.
And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all he might have the preeminence.
And we're going to look at that word that is translated here in the King James, preeminence.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 19.
For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell.
Now, I want you to look real closely at this, and for the next several weeks, we're going to focus on this, and the Greek word that is translated fullness.
Mm-hmm.
Fullness. Fullness. Read verse 20.
And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven.
As he deals with the manifestation of the decrees of God's work, of that which he accomplished in eternity, and as God is revealing it and working it out each day.
Yes.
As we look at the writings herein, and we survey this portion of the context, we note that from the Greek text, verse 15, Brother Digger, why don't you read 15 from the King James again?
Colossians 1:15.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature.
All right, now from the Greek text.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation?
All right.
We said last week verse gives two important facts describing who Jesus Christ is. It's so important for us to know who Jesus Christ is. There is distortion in the minds of God's people.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately we form a picture of a man and a human, and he was human in his earthly manifestation.
Right.
But I said to you this morning, Jesus is more than that. It states that he is the image of God,
mm-hmm.
who is invisible to the eyes of men.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you have an invisible image?
Mm.
an invisible image. Amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, the Apostle Paul states that we don't know him according to the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, what it actually says is that those who have known him and those who have beheld him, speaking of those who knew him in his manifested state as he abode 33 years mm-hmm. upon the earth, viewed him as the Lord of Nazarene, and many people viewed him as many things. In fact, he said to Peter, John one time, who do men say that I am?
Mm-hmm.
And some said that you are Elijah the prophet. That means there are many basic positions of what Jesus is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and some say you are Moses. Then Jesus said to him, well, whom do you say I am? Peter said, I say that thou art who? You're Christ, the Son of the living God.
Yeah.
So he said, Peter, flesh and blood didn't tell you that.
That's right.
In other words,
right.
This did not come through human intellect. But even that which Peter saw was limited up to a point. And he was speaking in the spirit at the point that he made the answer.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. That was really not Peter talking.
Mm-hmm.
But Paul says, though we have known him in the flesh,
mm-hmm.
we do not know him according to the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And so it is not the physical Jesus, the historical Jesus,
mm-hmm.
as some like to say, but it is the spiritual Jesus,
mm-hmm.
Who is the express image,
mm-hmm.
invisible image, which mm-hmm. means that image is not a natural, a physical image.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. A replica, that's what it conveys, I'm kind of rushing through a little bit this morning, of God.
Mm-hmm.
He is the expression of God.
Right.
He is God.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one God head.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. I'm going to Glenn and so-and-so, oh, Pastor, you run to the Greek. We've got to. We have the Greek phrase, os estin ikon tu theo tu aratu, which is literally rendered, and this is why I read it. It is literally rendered, who is the image of God, the invisible.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. He is the image of the God the invisible, which means don't look at him in the natural sense, beholding some physical form.
Mm-hmm.
This is what this is conveying to us, that he is not comprehensible in the physical of the natural sense. Here the Greek now, ikon, rendered image. Here, if you notice, dealing with the grammar, it is in the nominative case. And anything that is in the nominative case, as he makes the statement, it is the subject. So the subject here is the image. What is the image?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. It connotes what the likeness or replica of the expression is.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is the express image, invisible image of God.
Mm-hmm.
Not the express physical image of God.
Mm-hmm.
Not the express natural image of God. He is the expression of the image of God who is invisible. So our focus on Jesus cannot possibly be, amen, the lonely Nazarene who walked the dusty shores,
mm-hmm.
of the one who was asleep down in the ship,
mm-hmm.
amen, and said, came up above and the wind was raising and said, peace, be still. The one, amen, even who this plainly and manifestly on the cross died, the physical display of him 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
Now, all of that does make up the sum total of God manifestly expressing the works of Jesus. But remember, these works are eternal works.
Mm-hmm.
The Lamb of God was slain before the foundation of, before the creation of the world.
Right.
The manifestation of it was 2,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And here, as Luke will be able to trace the origin, not really trace its origin, but at least trace it far back above 2,000 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and far back above and before creation.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why Jesus could say to them, before Abraham was, I am. Amen. For he is eternal.
Yeah.
Amen. For he is self-existing because he, Jesus, amen, is God. For there is only one Godhead, and in the Godhead, one, amen, one intelligent center.
Mm-hmm.
One essence.
Mm-hmm.
One everything.
Mm-hmm.
And he pleased him, to express himself, in the essence of carrying out his purpose to the end that he is the head of this body.
Mm-hmm.
And it is he that makes the body glorious. Without the head, it would be just like any other body.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
But this body is glorious.
Mm-hmm.
Because of his head.
Mm-hmm.
This body is justified because of his head.
Mm-hmm.
This body is sanctified because of his head.
Mm-hmm.
This body is eternal because of his head. Everything good concerning this body is because of the head.
Yeah,
amen. All the worth and the value is in the head.
Yeah.
Amen. It pleased the Godhead to express the purpose of and workings of God and calling out and electing and making sure that those that he called and placed into this glorious body receive the nature of the very God himself.
Yeah.
And therefore he has expressed Jesus Christ as head of the body.
Yeah, yeah.
So we miss that. We miss it.
Yeah.
We miss it because we're physical. We think physical, and of course, it causes a problem. And then when you take the Father and you separate him from the Son, the Jews in their economy, they knew concerning the Father. But when Jesus comes along, they say, well, who are you? Because they knew, amen, through the law and through their teaching that the Father is in the spiritual sphere.
Mm-hmm.
And now they look up and they see,
mm-hmm.
amen, a man as far as their natural eyes could behold,
yeah.
and they wanted to know who he was.
Yeah, right.
Amen. Oh my God. And this is what messes up those who have come up with the Trinitarian theory.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a fact, it's a theory.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one Godhead.
Yeah,
and when you see Jesus, mm-hmm. if you're looking at him in the physical sphere, you've already separated him from the Father.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Father is spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at Jesus and all you see is that which is physical and natural, you automatically delineated the two.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at Jesus in the spiritual sense, you are able to see, and this is what he was saying to Thomas,
mm-hmm.
as he said, Thomas,
yeah.
you're asking me,
uh-huh.
let us see the Father.
Yeah.
And all he was doing is he was, see, the Jews, they understood
mm-hmm.
God the Father. They understood the expression of a God who was separated from them and who was invisible.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to him, Thomas,
mm-hmm.
if you have seen me,
mm-hmm.
not in the physical sense,
mm-hmm.
but in the spiritual sense.
Mm-hmm.
You see, those that dwell with Jesus, they never knew him.
Mm-mm.
They didn't really know who he was. They saw all of the miracles, and this one said, you see, the miracles
yeah.
and the healings and all of that, and people mm-hmm. run to those type of ministries and get caught up there. That only goes so far.
Mm-hmm.
And they had seen all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
And they still didn't know who he was.
Still didn't know.
Mm-hmm. Until he breathed upon them.
Yes.
And he said, receive the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was opened up to them,
mm-hmm.
the scriptures,
mm-hmm.
but they still didn't see what he revealed to a man named Saul,
mm-hmm.
amen, whose name he changed to Paul
yeah.
sometime later.
Yeah, didn't see that much.
And this is why Paul says
mm-hmm.
in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians
mm-hmm.
that when he rose, he was seen by hundreds of the brethren and
mm-hmm.
Peter and some of the others.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, lastly, of all, he was seen by me. Somebody said, well, then Paul saw him. No, no, Paul was speaking in the natural. Amen. When you see Jesus in the spiritual, you see him much more clearly than when looking at him in the natural.
Yeah.
And the physical.
Yes.
And that's the problem today, and that's why so many don't know who Jesus is. And we sing songs, of course, they express the limitations of what we seem to be.
Mm-hmm.
We have a song, say everybody don't know who Jesus is, say he's the lily of the valley, the bright morning star. Oh my God, he's more than that. He is God, amen. He is the expression of God, amen, for the purpose of being the head of the body for which you are a member of. He is the representation of God, amen, as the head and through the head, amen, the very nature of him has been transferred,
mm-hmm.
amen, and you have received the nature of God
absolutely.
Through the head,
yes.
which is Jesus Christ, who is the express image of the God invisible.
Glory.
Hallelujah. Yes, he is.
We think physical.
Yes, we do.
And this is what divides the thing up.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's go back to 1 John again. Not 1 John. John chapter 1, very quickly. John 1:18, I'm going to hit there, and then we're going to keep going. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much. Even in this document, we have not touched it all. There's another 23 pages that I've got in another document that is called Our Eternal Union in Christ. Amen. There's so much. There's nothing that is going on out here. Many things are being preached in churches across the nation this morning. Mm-hmm. And they're all, not all, but the majority of them are focused on the natural and the physical things that are around us. And of course, I've never said to you that we should not get involved and we should not be aware of the things that are around us. But that's only to a degree. Mm-hmm. Amen. Our ultimate aim and purpose, your hope, mm-hmm. your aspiration mm-hmm. cannot be in the physical sphere of the things that are around you. Yes. All of these things are going to disappear.
Yes. That's right.
They are temporary.
That's right.
And so our focus must be on eternal hope.
Yes.
The only hope you have is eternal. Yes. If you have a hope and it's not eternal, it's not a hope.
Yes.
It is an illusion.
Yes, yes.
But we don't want to have an illusion. We want to have a hope.
Yes. Thank God.
Amen. Oh, my God.
Yes.
Now, but you can read that. Everybody got 1 John 1:18. Read it.
St. John.
Not, yes. Well, John.
John.
Amen. They threw that. You'll find Saint written on any of the manuscripts. At St. John. But of course, if that's the way you recognize it, St. John. All right, read.
John 1:18.
Mm-hmm.
No man has seen God at any time.
Mm-hmm.
The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. He hath declared.
All right, I'm going to touch this one more time, and then I'm gone with it. It reads literally, Monienis Theos O, and here we got a bracket, the word yields, mm-hmm. because some of the manuscripts read Theos.
Mm-hmm.
Yields is Son,
mm-hmm.
Theos is God.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a big fight over that, and I'm saying, I can read it either way, because to me it's the same. Whether I say, no one has seen God but the only begotten Son, or whether I say, no one has seen God but the only begotten God, you say one and the same thing because the Son is the God.
Right.
What are we arguing about? Unless you don't believe that Jesus is God.
Right.
And you got problems,
mm-hmm.
and we can stop and argue about it.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, there's no argument.
Mm-hmm.
And you got the Textus Receptus and the majority text reading Son.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got the critical text reading God.
Mm-hmm.
And they stop and they fuss and they fight over it. And I want to blow a whistle and say, hey, fellas,
mm-hmm.
they're the same.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Whether you say Son, whether you say God, it's the same.
Yes.
Jesus is God.
Yes.
Jesus is God. Now, what brings it really into focus, as we continue the literal reading,
mm-hmm.
is on is to copon to Patros, which is rendered who is on or in the bosom of the Father. After all, some people. Because you say, well, he can't be God if he's in the bosom. You have to understand. Other scripture said, to wit, said, Christ was in God, or God was in Christ, or Christ was in God. God was in Christ. You can say it either way.
Amen.
Because Christ is the... Did we just read that he is the invisible image of God?
Mm-hmm.
Doing what? Reconciling
mm-hmm.
the world to himself. Speaking of the manifestation of what he is doing.
Yes.
And this is why he could say to Thomas,
mm-hmm.
if you've seen me, you've If you see me in the spiritual realm, in the spiritual sense. But he is in God, Christ is in God, and he brings out another place. He's speaking to John, he said, I'm in the Father, and the Father is in me.
Sure is.
He said, what kind of devil talk is that?
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not. You got problems as long as you try to separate them. The expression of the Father and the expression of the Son and the expression of the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
you got problems
mm-hmm.
because you're trying to break them down into diverse components.
Yeah.
You're trying to differentiate them
mm-hmm.
in attribute,
mm-hmm.
in character,
mm-hmm.
and even though they don't say it, they say one essence and three persons. What are you saying? What are you saying? If you got one intelligence center, what are you saying? If Jesus is less than the Father, did that mean the nature that we have received from the head is less than
mm-hmm.
God? And if we have received that which is less than the nature of God, then we cannot be acceptable to God.
That's true.
In other words, if Jesus is not God, we're still in our sins and we are rejected. We are rejects. We are reprobates. We are living in an illusion. Because we have separated Jesus from God. Not understanding that the worth of our acceptability to God depends upon who Jesus is. Justification depends upon who Jesus is. The propitiation means nothing as an acceptable sacrifice if we do not, amen, understand the essence of who Jesus is. All of the other blessings, sanctification, glorification, and all of these things that are spiritual blessings and benefits, they're dependent upon who Jesus is.
Yes.
Now here's the clincher. The phrase ekonos iomistato, which is rendered him, he manifested. He was in the Father. He was in the Godhead. And God manifested him. Why do you think God manifested him? For our sakes. Except for our sakes, there would be no need for the manifestation of Jesus. He was, y'all understand? For his elect's sake, he is manifested. For my sake and your sake,
yes,
he's manifested.
Amen.
And without him, we could really sing that song, we would be nothing.
That's it. Yes.
We are nothing without him.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Amen.
This body only has value based upon him.
Mm-hmm.
That's who he is.
Mm-hmm.
Because what he accomplished wouldn't mean anything if he wasn't who he is. If he wasn't God, his death would mean nothing.
That's true.
Many men have died.
Yes. Horrible.
Yeah. If he wasn't God, he could not have resurrected.
Mm-hmm.
Because death would have held him.
Mm-hmm.
If he wasn't God.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. All right. I'm going to leave that long for right now. But remember, when James says, show us the Father,
mm-hmm.
he says, if you've seen me, you've seen him.
Mm-hmm.
He's speaking in the spiritual realm.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So if you want to see the Father, amen, look at the Godhead.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to see Jesus, look at the Godhead.
Mm-hmm.
But remember, You got to be talking spiritual all the way.
All the way.
All right? Now, moving forward, because I see my time is time has just got away from me here. The second fact concerning Jesus is that he is the firstborn of all creation. In light of understanding that all things were created by means of and through the eternal Christ, this is the affirmation that he pre-existed before anything else existed. Follow me here. Here we have a Greek word, prototokos, rendered firstborn. When we think of firstborn, we think, as it is expressed in Luke chapter 2, verse 7, we don't have time this morning, in Hebrews 11 and 28 here, it's speaking of a firstborn in a family. But the majority usage of this word, prototokos, is in reference to Jesus Christ 5 out of 8 times. When it says firstborn, it is stated in terms of it being God's purpose in establishing Jesus, in establishing him that he might be first among believers, conformed to the image of what the head should be, of his son, as we reference Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Here's a wind-up this morning. Firstborn is used twice as a proper name. Once, as it speaks of Christ eternal, as Hebrews 1 and 6, and once in relationship to the believer, Hebrews 12:23, and there's much to be gleaned, there's much to be understood from Paul's writing in Hebrews. And this is why it's so important for us to understand that Paul did write Hebrews, even though he was writing to Jewish believers. Paul wrote it. And of course you would get that in 2005 also. Amen. In black and white. But here, this first firstborn is speaking of the essence of Christ's role, hallelujah, as it is established that it emphasizes in the various usages that which is first or prioritized in eternity and then in time. Now, as we move forward, there are two delineations that you must keep in mind if you're going to follow the discourse. First of all, you must distinguish actuation from manifestation, which means you must distinguish the actuation of that which God did and placed in decrees and time from the manifestation of those decrees that he did in eternity. That he did in eternity and placed in decrees in eternity. He actualized and placed in decrees all that he actualized in the eternal realm. You must draw a sharp line of delineation or demarcation, I should say, between that and what is manifested. What is revealed in the sphere of time. If you don't do that, you won't be able to follow the discourse. If you mix the two. In other words, if you think of anything being actualized, coming to pass, and we got a paper coming out sometimes before the end of 2005, the doctrine of actualization. Amen, because that's all messed up too. What is actualized is what God, amen, in his mind, in his thinking, amen, has thought. And then once it enters the thought mode of God, it is actualized there. Not when it is manifested or realized. We seem to think, of things as being actualized when we know it, when we see it, when it's revealed. Amen. And that's the difference between the usages of the different grammatical structures of indicative future, which is future fact. How can you have a future fact? You can only have a future fact as it is tied to what has been revealed in God's eternal decree.
That's right.
A future fact is that we have eternal life.
Right.
What is that based upon? That's based upon what we know concerning God's eternal decree.
Right.
Amen. Many things are in the subjunctive mood and aorist tense. It means you have an action that has happened, but there's a probability aspect to it. What is the probability? The probability is that we don't know what it is. But there's so many things that God has given us that are knowable, that are future facts, till we should take them and run with them. And this body is one of them. Now, give me 5 minutes and then I'm down. There can be no separation. There can be no separation of the essence of the Godhead. Everybody say Godhead.
God.
I didn't hear heads, did I? Okay. Head. And you look at that word, it is singular. Which means one.
Yeah.
Paul's epistles consistently present Jesus Christ as God in the role of sonship.
Mm-hmm.
As firstborn conveys the design of such.
Mm-hmm.
As we compare Romans 1 and 4, Ephesians 3:19, and we'll come back to them next week. Colossians 2 and 9 and Colossians 3 and 3. You know what's the question here? You know what's been assaulted? The deity of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you separate him from the Father, you have separated him from deity. Is it what I thought? The Father and the Son was different in expressions? Yes. In essence, no. In actuation, no. In attributes, no.
That's right.
And everything else you can think of, show me anything about the Father attribute-wise that you can say about the Son. Accordingly, the deity of Christ is cogently documented. And the terminology of firstborn, and we'll start there next week, firstborn, emphasizes the fact that Christ existed prior to the creation of the universe and all that is in it. This is in concert with the workings of God's sovereign purpose prior to the creation of the universe. That is the existence of the eternal Christ. Ephesians 1, 4, and 5. Amen. Who is God? Now, this has been debated for many centuries, and we and our aim here is not to convince anybody of anything. Only the Spirit can convince you. Our job is to put out the information. Our job is to document. He wants to separate them, continue to. Continue on the line. And you say, well, the majority of Christendom preach the Trinity. What does the Word of God teach? Who is he? Jesus. This is so important. We'll take this up next week. God bless you.
Hallelujah. This is God's hand.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.